The next one that I have on the list here is no novice. Don't remember now what we said at the beginning. These are the qualities that you look for in a prospective ministry.
Yes.
Don't take an individual that isn't grounded, well established, and put them in a place of responsibility beyond their capability. That wouldn't be faithful brother to brother, would it? I don't know what you think of this or what your thinking is in regard to this, but I'll share a little bit of mine with you for whatever it's worth. Man in his original condition was designed to be in perfect accord with God and his will, in perfect obedience, by consent of his own will. He was in perfect conformity to God and his will. When the time came that he withdrew from that, that's when he lost God's image, wasn't it? When God moved away, then what was going to fill that place in man's life? He filled it with his own selfish desire. Now, that transposed down through the generations from Adam clear to me, to you, to every one of us. We feel no guilt for it because we gave no consent for it to be there. Yet we all possess it. What do we call it? Carnal nature, Adamic nature, bent towards sin, whatever you call it. The point that I want us to get a hold of is that this influence is so normal to us that a lot of times we don't even recognize it. It takes the enlightenment of the Spirit of the Lord to expose it to where we can see it. In my early years, I hadn't been saved very long, and I just felt such strong desire to please the Lord in every detail, and I started praying in that direction. Lord, I'd like you to let me see me like you see me. I prayed that real earnest, and one day the Lord just spoke to me so plain. He said, if I'd let you see you like I see you, you'd get discouraged and quit. Then I see that it's His mercy that as I progress down life and as the events of life occur as they pertain to me, and there are things in me that will be a hindrance to me in my Christian experience, He'll just expose it to where I can see it and have opportunity to do something about it. And as long as I keep that done, my soul stays pure. Any time that I reject it, and that's my option, any time. Well, that's the way it occurs to me anyway. When we take a novice, a beginner, one who's newly saved, who has not come to the place to realize what it means to grapple with self, and that's what that is, we put him in a place of responsibility, and his natural inclination will be to lean to his own understanding because that's what he's always depended on. Then it won't be long till he'll find himself in a situation that he don't know what to do with. To me, this seems so reasonable, but it didn't work. Why? And the first one he'll accuse, because Satan will be there to help him, the Lord failed me. Well, I have another thought that I'll put in here, but whatever it's worth, It takes more than a beginner to get in a place like this. It takes somebody helping him. Older minister, you ought to have enough respect for the younger one than to put him in a place where there's danger of him being carried away because he don't understand. You remember that these same qualifications require us as older ministers to be sober, clear thinking, make sound decisions. Don't put some young fella in to do a job because you didn't want to. Pretty serious business, isn't it? If these are things that take time. You say, well, the Apostle Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus and he went right into town and preached Christ. That's true. And I've known people to get saved in just a few days. You'd hear them preaching. But I also know that there was a time that Paul went to the backside of the desert for 3 years. What do you think he was doing out there? Throwing rocks at the lizards? He is out there learning to hear the voice of the Lord. Learning how to understand the ways of the Spirit. Being able to interpret God's thinking into man's lives. Isn't that what Christianity is? Transposing God's ways into men's lives. All other men follow their own ways. It takes a Christian to follow God's ways. And that's what we're interested in. That's what pastors are working at every day. Our evangelistic brethren travel a country looking for souls that will make a start. But right behind that start, there needs to be one to instruct them, to help them, to assist them, to teach them. Oh, let us be faithful to the Pope. We say, my father used to tell me when I was a boy, my mother, I was the only boy in the family. My mother was real fearful for me. She didn't want me to try anything off the beaten path, hardly. And when I got old enough, well, of course, I wanted to go to the creek and swim with the other boys and all like that. And it just nearly terrified my mother. And so my father used to tell me, he said, well, son, just as soon as you learn to swim, you can go to the creek. When we first look at this and we say, not a novice, not a beginner, we say, well, how are you going to produce a mature minister? Everybody has a beginning. Everybody has a beginning. That's no disgrace. Do you know where the ideal place is to make your mistakes and your blunders and your well, stumblings? Do you know where the ideal place is? Right within the rank and file of the fold of the church. Don't be ashamed to spend an apprenticeship. I think about what Brother Salmon said. How are we going to age group ministers? If you just started preaching last week and you're 65 years old, you're a young minister. Did you know that? Amen. Don't be ashamed to do your apprenticeship. And don't try to pull yourself off somewhere where nobody will know anything about it. Get right in there where if you make a blunder, the saints will be there to pray for you. The most understanding people in the world. People that have nurtured you from the time you were a babe in Christ. Listened to your testimony as you progressed. Watched your advancement as you measured up. Prayed with you when you made the wrong decisions. These things lay close to a pastor's heart. if you will be patient under that kind of instruction, the day will come when you will have opportunity to go. You don't have to rise up after a while and decide, well, my pastor's got clear off the track and start complaining about him and giving him a lot of trouble in the congregation and all this kind of thing. You learn how to behave yourself in the house of God as an adult. That's necessary. Oh, that's necessary. When the time comes that you get in trouble, if it does, we'd hope it don't, and yet most of us do. When the time comes that you get in trouble and you've been looking kind of down your nose at your pastor and you think some of the things, the decisions that he makes is clear off the beam and you don't see how he can do things like that, and the first thing you know, you're in trouble. You know who the most understanding person there is to go to with your trouble? That pastor you've been looking down your nose at. That's what he's there for. Pastor, don't you lose your patience with that young fella and decide it's not worth your effort anymore. You stay in there and beg the Lord to work with this young fella and let him see. This is training that he needs, because he's going out pretty soon to do the same thing that you're trying to do. You better be faithful to him. Well, here's another thing that's on there, on the list. Good reputation. Does that sound becoming to children of God to you? I don't think that even hardly needs much comment. Our job is to win the world. It cannot be done if our lives are blighted. If there's anybody needs a good reputation, it's a minister, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. You think about it. I want us to look over here in the 8th chapter of Acts. No, the 1st chapter of Acts. Well, let's read a few verses here. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, to all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Think about this. His counsel to these apostles was to pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the vineyard. Here is a world ripe for the gospel. Here are multitudes of souls ready to be saved. And his direct command was, tarry at Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. To me, this is an undeniable requirement of the ministry. Amen. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. To be candidates for the work of the Lord. Yes. All right, this I think that we have talked about pretty well covers what's given in Timothy and the one in Titus both. And this other one I kind of threw in there for good measure. I'd like for us to think a little bit about more than the individual items that we went over, put them together. And what do you picture in your mind, do you think of when you see the whole embodied in one individual? That's what he wants, isn't it? Well, I may be strong on patience, but I'm not too good on this loudmouth business. Well, I may be able to do this, but I can't do that. God wants a well-balanced portion of it all. That's what he started out. That's what he was looking for. I want all of these qualities found in one individual. Then that individual will be a fit candidate for the job that's open. If I find all of these qualities operating in an individual, I don't have much trouble having confidence in that individual, do you? If you find that operating in me, you'll pretty well be able to have confidence in me, won't you? Do we see now why these qualifications are necessary? These are the conditions that must exist in order for unity to exist. You will not have unity without confidence. You will... Excuse me?
I said truth.
All right. You won't have confidence or unity, either one, where you find these qualities lacking. It's just true. We say, well, I'll just overlook this. You try and overlook this. You come to somebody now that's sick and desperately sick and needing prayer, needing agreement of prayer. And now here I am with this. Well, I'd like to overlook this, but I still know it's there. And how much effect is this going to have in our agreement? Oh, we shortchange ourselves when we allow this kind of thing. Oh, young brethren, stay in harmony with each other and in harmony with the Word of God. Don't you settle for some kind of arrangement that you can live with. You settle for what the Word of God requires. Well, this has to do with us as we have to do with each other. But that's not the only reason for this qualification. You say, well, who else could it concern? I'll tell you who else. How well I know who else. It has to do with me. I listened to the brethren talking today, and I'm in agreement with that. But I'd like to add a little to it. It's all right to withdraw ourselves, if that's the word to use, to move aside for a little bit and to rest, to relax. But did you know that an idle rest is kind of a useless thing?
Yes.
As far as restoring is concerned?
Yes.
Jesus rested. He said, let's go off to a desert place. What do you think he was doing out there? He went out there and sat down? Throwed rocks at the sagebrush? I don't believe that. I believe he's out there talking to his Father. You want to get rested? There's not many things that will refresh you any quicker or any more thoroughly than that. All right, then that has to do with what we've been going over tonight. Young minister, you come to the place in your life, I can assure you, in the time that you live in, you'll come to the place that you'll feel like I'm at my wit's end. I don't know which way to turn next. I don't know what answer to give. I don't know what to do. Thing looks like it just gets to going in a whirlpool and it goes around and around and around and around and you don't get anywhere. you can't find any loose end to get a hold of to get out, you know what to do? I'll tell you what the Lord taught me to do. You get somewhere and you get your mind off all of this whirlpool and all of these things that's been going through your mind and such a whirl, and you go back and read things like this. Blameless. A good report. Good reputation. A man that's sober. A man that's kept the faith. A man that's respected in the neighborhood. Go right on down the list and look at yourself. And when you can say, Lord, as near as I know, I've met everyone. There's the end to take hold of. That'll bring you up out of that. Go right back to the fundamentals of Christianity. What is the battle all about? To iron out people's problems, to give people answers for everything they can come up with, to be able to explain scriptures that are sometimes fantastic that people come up with. That's not it at all. It's to conquer sin. Oh, get a hold of that. When you feel like you've carried the load about as far as you can, you put the whole thing down and get off somewhere and go back to the basics. I repented of my sins, and I am forgiven. I yielded my heart to God, to all that I know and understood, and He sanctified my nature. As near as I know, I'm living a holy life every day. And you stay out there with that for a while, and you'll be able to go back and you can see that whirlpool begin to straighten out. And the high water starts to go down. For anything we did, no. Learn to depend on the Good Shepherd. He is a true shepherd of the sheep, and He's your shepherd too. He didn't put this responsibility on you and say, well, there it is. Do the best you can with it for the rest of your life, and I'll see you at the end of the way. He said, I'll walk with you every step. Oh, don't leave that out of your life. You don't have to wait for an annual minister's meeting for a refreshing like this. Not to say that this isn't a blessing. I've been real blessed since I've been here. But there are times when we need this kind of refreshing. And it's there. It's there. All right, we started out with this thought. That the listing that is given to these young brethren back there was as it pertained to prospective ministers. I find instruction in the Word of God that has to do with practicing ministers. Qualities that are expected to be found in practicing ministers. Let's look in the 14th chapter of St. John's Gospel. This again goes back to what we mentioned before. In the 15th verse, 17th chapter, no, 14th chapter, 15th to the 17th verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love Christ? If you do, that's the reason you love His work, is because it's precious to Him. Thus it becomes precious to you. And if we have that first and foremost, paramount in our lives, it will perform in that direction. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot give, cannot receive. And you must, to be a successful minister, you have something that the world knows nothing about. Then don't expect them to. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. To possess the Holy Spirit is an absolute necessity in the ministry. I'll offer you just one other thought to go with it, and I would hope that your minds would range out over the field. It's a broad field. How can we expect Holy Ghost anointing if we are void of Holy Ghost presence? To me, this is vital. I don't know any other way to put it. This is vital. We must have the Holy Ghost to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter here for just a minute. In the 5th chapter. First verse. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Notice the mutual relationship here. The elders which are among you, who am also an elder. I'm just one in the number. And yet I have counsel that I feel like is of value to everyone. You know what he's saying? Who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, willing to help his brethren, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Listen to this. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Is that a qualification for the ministry? If we had been commissioned to this, ought we not to be functioning in that capacity? Ought we not to feel responsibility in that direction? I believe there's qualification, don't you? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, willing to assume the responsibility. Well, but I don't get anything out of it. Why should I put myself out? What was the other qualification? Not interested in filter looker. Not ambitious for a name, recognition. Just willing to go and do whatever I can to advance the cause of Christ. Well, but before I can do that, I've got to be able to take the stand. No, you don't. All you have to have is something that will be a blessing to somebody's soul. And you can stand in the back of the building and give it, and the Lord will anoint it, and it'll go forth and accomplish where he sent it. I believe this is right. Amen. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Don't hang around till somebody has to twist your arm. I had a terrible struggle with this when I first started out way back yonder. And to me, if there was another minister in the house, that fixed it. There was nothing for me to do. I can see a little bit of how the Lord helped me out. How could I feel this high standing up here tonight? I want to do my part in the kingdom of God. I have no other thought. I would hope that it would be a blessing to someone. Not by constraint, but willingly. I fought that for years, to come to the place that I was willing to say, Lord, wherever I am, I'll do the very best I can to serve you. Even if it's in a camp meeting where there's a dozen other preachers and you talk to me, you have no idea what a struggle that is. Well, maybe you do. Everyone has their own shortcomings, and that happened to be mine. I thank the Lord that he's helped me a great deal. I appreciate it.
Yes, Lord.
Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage.
Yes,
but being in samples to the flock. Oh, pastor, preacher, minister of God. This is always necessary.
Yes,
always. There is never a place never a place that we can come to where we don't act like Christians. We face problems. We encounter situations. There are things that come up that have to be dealt with, but in all of it, holiness operates in keeping with holiness. It's never becoming for a minister to fly off the handle and go, speak short to somebody, cut someone down. Is that in keeping with? Never. Not ever. Oh, Lord, teach us how. This is a direct contradiction to the reactions of the flesh. Someone does me wrong this way. My time's coming. You'll get your comeuppance too. Better put all that down. Some of the things that a novice has to get victory over. I guess I did. Somebody says something bad about you. Well, I don't know. I guess I better explain this to everybody. No, you better let it alone. Well, but it leaves me looking bad. All right, go ahead and look bad. You be true to the Lord. I learned a long time ago it doesn't seem to bother the Lord for me to be embarrassed. I believe this is right. Look at 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter. First and second verse here in 2 Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Is that a qualification? Oh, brethren. Whatever we put out, it ought to be in accord with the Word of God. Do we have any right to preach anything that we cannot substantiate in the Word of God? I believe that's a mistake, don't you? Now you know why I gave the admonition a while ago, young minister, if you don't know what you're preaching, don't preach it. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. This is what I'm waiting for. This gives me the license now to go and cut some folks down. Been doing things for a long time I didn't think they ought to do. Now I've got the scripture here. I'm going over and do some reproving and some rebuking and some straightening out. Well, before you go too far with that, do some thinking along these lines. Have you ever had the Lord rebuke you? Have you ever had him reprove you? How did you feel when it was over with? Feel like you was browbeat and crushed down and been told off and all of that? It felt more like a blessing, didn't it? And yet you knew there was things there that needed to be fixed. Does that tell us anything about how to deal with folks when it comes to the Word of God? A reproof doesn't have to be an abusive thing. A rebuke doesn't have to be a sharp thing. We'll do well to learn the secret of presenting God's word always constructive, always uplifting, always pointing men to something higher. I can tell you from experience, it takes the grace of God to be able to do that, or to even know how to do it. I'd like for us to look at 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. And the 13th verse. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And here's the part I wanted us to get to. And be at peace among yourselves. What did Jesus say his kingdom was? Kingdom of peace, reigning within. This is a kingdom of peace that we profess to be extolling and carrying forth to the people, but I can't get along with my brother. If you'd just stay out of my hair, I could get along all right. If you'd quit butting in here every few minutes, everything would get along. This is a kingdom of peace. Who should be the prime candidate for this instruction? Oh, brother. Let's get along with each other. What had it ought to take before I'd be willing to lay down my confidence? I feel like that I just nearly have to see somebody in the very act of committing sin before I'd be willing to say, well, you're not saved. I want some pretty reliable information before I start cutting somebody out of my confidence, don't you? Didn't he tell us in one place, don't cast away your confidence. It hath great recompense and reward. I was deeply impressed by what Brother Warren said this afternoon. I hope that more of us, or all of us, noticed and recognized the impact of what he said. Love is at a low ebb. He said, love is at a low ebb. Oh, wasn't that it? Is that right, Brother Warren? And there was another that went along with it. What was it? Faith and love. Is it a low web? Oh, think now. Is there anything I can do about that? Well, I won't get up here and tell everybody else what to do. You know who the first one to do is? I was impressed this afternoon by what Brother Fry said. Is it? I don't want to embarrass anybody. He said there's a brother here and we had a little difference, but we got it ironed out. Thrills my soul for more reasons than one, because you know what the answer is if they didn't? Well, these brethren had some trouble and in disagreement, and so all right, somebody needs to be cut off, and somebody's done wrong, and this needs to be done, and that you better be careful. What did he say in the qualification? Have a little patience. And in time it worked out. Isn't that better than to have somebody pushed aside? Oh, saints. Holiness always runs true to form. Gentle, kind, easy to be entreated. I'd like to read one more scripture over in Titus, if we can find it here real quick. First verse of the second chapter. Listen to this, young minister, every minister for that matter. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now who is it that's going to take you into counsel and tell you what sound doctrine is? Older ministers can offer a little advice once in a while, and we can tell the experiences that we've had, but there are things about the gospel that you're going to have to get at his mouth. Amen. There's no other place to get it. If you need to know the answer to something, he is the one that is the master. He has the encyclopedia, doesn't he? He has all the references. Look down here at the 7th verse of the same chapter. Listen to this. In all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works. Oh, brethren, we have no right to indulge in anything because we're ministers that's not becoming to the laity. When it comes to the conduct of our lives, in all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works. Well, we say I have responsibilities to fill that may infringe on some of the other. You be careful when you take that kind of position. If you're walking honestly and earnestly before the Lord, there may be positions, there are situations that are touchy, but the Lord knows how to provide where everything can be done acceptably. If I'm going to teach holiness, I'm expected to live holiness. I have a right to expect that of you. You have right to expect that of me. I have no right to expect you to love me as a brother till I have presented myself lovable. Neither have you any right to expect me or anyone else to love and respect you as a child of God until you've presented yourself in that vein. Fixes responsibility pretty severe, doesn't it? In all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works. In the conflicts of life, in the turmoil, in the troubles that life presents. If we're not real careful, Satan will crowd us into something. And this is something I've noticed over the years that he loves to do to young ministers. If he can get them to stumble somewhere and get a blot on their life. There are some things that happen to people, and I know, and I have this conviction that as far as God's concerned, sin is sin and wrong is wrong, and he will not overlook any. He'll recompense everyone. But there are things that society will not overlook so easy. A morals charge against a minister, that's a hard thing to live down. Young minister, you be on your guard all the time. Old minister that finds themselves in my condition, I have been amazed. I'll testify to you in honesty at the tricks that Satan will play. Why? Because one blot can ruin the whole thing. Oh, I'm glad that the Lord knows how to warn us ahead of time, aren't you? In all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works. You know what a pattern is? That if somebody else measured his life just exactly like I do mine, he'd stand clear before God at the judgment. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Well, chances are you're not going to work with just one somebody else. You'll probably work with a congregation. Then that compounds the... Oh, it's serious. But in all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, shewing uncorruptness. Do you know what will serve to corrupt the gospel just about as quick as anything? A little self-interest. Oh, it means much to have it all on the altar. You know what that all is? That's this old self in here. This that wants a little recognition, a little credit. In doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, be able to support what you preach in the Word of God. If you can found it, and if you can present it from the depth of the Word, and if you can back it up in there, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you can't, you be careful. Satan will get you in trouble. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Oh, think. You won't be able to do that in your own strength, in your own wisdom. We need the Holy Ghost, don't we? Every one of us. And without that, we're every one a failure. I'll testify for me and everybody else. When we try to go without the Holy Ghost, we just lost it all. I don't know as I have anything more to say. I probably said too much already. You all forgive me for sharing.